Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. As I was reading and thinking the other day, I guess Monday or Tuesday, seemed like the Lord gave me this message, and I knew when He spoke to my heart about it that this was it. Some of those times like that where you just know the Lord's giving you something. And He began to give me this message, and I worked on it this evening and put some thoughts together, and I want to bring it to you by the help of the Lord, because it's God's message for the hour, and it's also, of course, what we need. The Lord always sends what we need. So there's a lot of people in here tonight who need, no doubt, need what I'm going to say tonight and need this message. It's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Now look what it's saying. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. See that verse? What a verse. Let me read it again. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. First of all, we're talking about a day of adversity. What's adversity? Adversary. Who's that? Your enemy. All right? We're Christians in a battle. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. We are in for a battle. Now, He said, if you're in a battle and you faint, your strength is small. Your strength is small. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, fainting in the day of adversity. Fainting in the day of adversity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. God, I thank You, Lord, that we're allowed to be in church. God, I know that it's not because of any strength or might or willpower that we have in ourselves. But, Lord, it's by and through the Holy Spirit of God that we're here tonight. We thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You for beginning it. Thank You that You who started this work will perform it, no doubt, until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for this dear brother who's come to share his burden with us tonight. Thank You for the good song. Thank You for the offering. Thank You for the prayers that's been prayed. Thank You, Lord, for every amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord and every bit of glory that Jesus Christ has received today. Thank You, and we praise You that You've allowed it to happen here in this place. God, we know that only eternity will reveal, God, just what the praises and the songs of Zion have done to glorify Thy Son. Our God, tonight we pray that You'd help us. Lord, we're in the day of adversity. Lord, we're in the day of battle. And God, I know, God, that our church and these people here, many of them, are in a very difficult battle. God, I pray that our strength will be great. Lord, don't let us faint in the day of adversity. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I bring this message to our church tonight, it's a message that could be brought to any church at any time, but especially to our church tonight. I realize that you know, and I can walk in the room, I can walk in the prayer room back there, or walk in the hallway, and I can tell that a lot of you are kind of down and out. I can tell that a lot of you just kind of just drooping. A lot of you are just kind of feeling bad. And I feel bad too. I've had a lot of battles, and you know that the devil's tried to get me more ways than one in the past few months. And ever since, seemed like we had that 550 in Sunday school back in November. It just seemed like he called a bunch of demons out of hell, just started shooting at me, and I've been a dodging bullets and everything else. And I know that he's worked on some of you. We are in a battle. We are in a battle. Are y'all hearing me? We are in a battle. And there's no doubt about it. And the Bible said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I don't know what's coming next. I don't know if they're going to drop a bomb on this building. I don't know if somebody's going to try to run me off the road, shoot me, or what. I know one thing tonight, my friend. God Almighty said we is in a battle. We're as soldiers fighting in the army of God. And brother, we better not faint. We better not faint in the day of adversity. I tell you, I looked up faint, and I began to notice how many times that the Bible used the word faint. Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to preach to you on this little word faint. Faint. Faint, faint. And brother, I looked up faint in the encyclopedia, and it said the faint was temporary loss of consciousness. Temporary loss of, pass out. That's what the world thinks of when they think of faint. I said, why does the Bible use that same word to describe a Christian that is given up? Why does the Bible use the word faint to describe a child of God who is given up in the day of battle and in the day of adversity? The encyclopedia said, when somebody gets ready to faint, they become pale. And they perspire, and then all of a sudden, they collapse. And boy, when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's what the Bible means. A lot of God's people are losing consciousness. A lot of God's people are fainting in the battle. A lot of God's people are turning pale and just collapsing when it ought to be and could be and should be serving God. I've been to a lot of churches, and listen, here's no exception, where there were Christian soldiers standing up, and boy, we'd stand up and wave our Bibles, and we'd stand up and say, glory to God, onward, march, hold the fort, all that stuff. But when the enemy comes in and they start pointing their guns at you and the bullets start flying over your head and it seemed like something bad could go wrong any day, some people just start passing out like flies. And brother, no doubt more will. But I want you to know, friends, tonight, the day of battle's no time to faint. The day of battle's no time to give up. The day of adversity is no time to turn your head and throw your gun down and retreat and go back to the enemy territory. The day of adversity is the time when God's people, like a mighty army, should rise up and fight the battle that God has given. Hurry up, brother, that's bothering me. I want you to know, brother, the day we're living in is a time when God's people are to stand up and point our gospel guns and pull out our swords out of our sheath and stab the enemy with everything we've got, because our God has promised us that He'll give the victory. He's never lost a battle, and He won't now. I'll guarantee you that. Brother, we ought not to faint. Now, I want to say a few things about fainting tonight real carefully. You listen to me. I know a lot of God's people that's fainted. I know some people that used to preach that have fainted. I know some people that used to serve God that have fainted. I know some people that used to teach Sunday school that have fainted. I know some people who used to give out tracts that have fainted. I know some people that used to sing in the choir that have fainted. And it could happen to me and it could happen to you. You know how come? The Bible said that their strength was small. And that's what caused them to faint in the day of adversity. Now, let me say two or three things tonight about fainting, and I'll be brief. You listen real carefully. Number one, people faint when they're needed most. People faint when they're needed most. Y'all hear what I said? People faint when they're needed the most. In an emergency, you never seen a woman pick a good time to faint. The house is on fire, and everything you got's burning up, going up in flame. And here she stands, whoo! And just passes out in the floor and all out in the driveway and fall down there. And you know what you have to do? You have to take the fire hose, take it off the fire and squirt her with it, trying to wake her up. People faint when you need them the most. And here's somebody had a wreck, and a woman comes up, somebody's laying there bleeding, and when she sees that blood, out she goes. And see, you have to take the ice pack, which you ought to be putting on the fellow bleeding to death, and have to let him lay there and bleed to death and put it on the woman who fainted. Our friend, people faint when they're needed the most. I'll guarantee you that. Instead of being there to help, they become a burden to everybody else. I heard about this man one time, and he said his little girl was climbing up a tree, and she was over a picket fence, and she fell out of the tree onto the fence. And one of them sharp things on the fence stuck in her belly. And the man got it, and he said it was the most awful sight. It was sickening. And he grabbed her and jerked her up and yanked that thing out of her stomach, and blood just going everywhere. And he picked the little girl up and started running across the yard, going to the hospital. And when he's picked running by his wife, he said, honey, look. And she looked and just passed out dead before, as cold as 4 o'clock, just fainted. And he turned around and he said, don't faint now. This ain't no fainting time. Get up. Get up. It ain't no time to faint. And boy, you know what? That was a bad time. He needed her. And I want to say to you as Christians, hey, church, are you listening to me? This ain't no fainting time. This ain't no time to faint. This is the time to keep your wits. This is the time to hold the fort. This is the time to practice what you preach. This is the time to practice what you say. This is the time, brother, not to faint. Then the adversity is there. When the battle is there, it's no time to faint. It's time to take
the sick to the hospital and let Jesus doctor them up. That's right. Hey, this is no time to faint, child of God. We're living in difficult times. Oh, my soul. I tell you, brother, now's the time. Hey, now's the time for Christians. Now's the time for children of God to stand up and show this world we got something worth living for. Hey, I want to ask you something. Is what I've been preaching to y'all for the last 9 years a lie? Well, is it? I tell you, brother, if it's the truth, and this is God's book, and the gospel is true, and the word of God's real, I want you to know, brother, in a day of adversity, it's when we ought to stand up and lift up our head, hold up our Bible, and say, we have got something worth living for. We have got something worth standing for. We have got something worth dying for, if necessary, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Bible, and the Christian faith. You say, Brother Danny, how are you doing that? God help me to do it. That's how. I sure can't do it by myself. Sometimes it helps me to get mad. I'm mad as the devil. I hate him. God can't use anybody that don't hate the devil. You pity the devil and pamper him around and play sympathetic toward sin. And sin looks good and pat it on the back. Son, it'll bite you like a two-headed rattlesnake, and God will have to show you sin no good. You'll learn to hate it. Heard about a preacher's wife. The preacher died, and his wife was left a widow. And bless her heart, she was down and out. And she wouldn't even go to church. She was so defeated. Wouldn't quit coming to church. And old Dr. Bob Jones, saying it's been years ago, went down and saw her, and he went to see the preacher and didn't even know he's dead. He said, "Where Brother so-and-so?" She said, "Didn't you know he just died about 2 or 3 weeks ago, 6 weeks, something like that?" He said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." And she said, "Well," he said, "Well, it's church time. You going to church?" She said, "No, I don't even go to church anymore." He said, "Why?" She said, "I just can't even show my face down there after all that's happened." He said, "Listen to me, ma'am. You ain't going to let the devil get the victory like that. You get up there and put your dress on and wash your face and get ready. I'm taking you to church. You ain't going to sit here and let the devil laugh at you like that." He said, "You go down there to that church. You walk down that aisle. And you show the sinners in this town that you've got something worth living for. That you've got something that's real." Now, I tell you, brother, a lot of times, you know what will happen to us? The devil will get us down and rub our nose in the mud. And the devil will mess us up and trip us. And you know what we want to do? We want to just quit. We don't say, "Well, I just can't show my face." You say, "Well, it's hard." I know it's hard. Don't y'all think I know it's hard? I know it's hard. But I tell you what, brother, it's time we let sinners in this county know that we have got something worth living for. That we ain't been being hypocrites. That we ain't been preaching lies. That what we got is real. It's no time to faint. It's time to stand in the battle. I remember Daddy telling about a long time ago. They grew up in Kentucky. They didn't have much to do. Of course, I don't know if I believe this or not. You know how that goes. That's what he said anyway. He said when they was growing up, they didn't have nothing to do. For fun, you know. Didn't have no amusement park, gymnasium, stuff like that. He said what they'd do for fun is there's this old woman lived up on top of a big hill. Great big woman. And she had a little boy running all over the country. He said what they'd go do up there, they'd go down at the bottom of the hill and holler out and say, "Hell, woman!" And she'd come out and they'd say, "Your boy just got killed," or "He broke his leg," or something. They said when he said that, she'd just pass out and roll all the way down the hill. They'd just die laughing. He'd about 2 or 3 days later, they'd come back and stand up and say, "Hell, woman! He broke his neck!" And she'd faint, roll all the way down the hill. I tell you, brother, I don't know if I believe that or not, but I want you to know, brother, that's where a lot of people are. Now, if her boy really did break his neck, there wasn't no time for her to go faint and rolling down the hill. I mean, if he really did have his leg broke or something, he needed her. She needed to be there. I mean, he needed his mama. I remember when we was little, I don't know if I've ever fainted or not, tell you the truth. I don't think I have. I think I've been knocked out a time or two. One time I was playing softball, and a guy hit a softball way up, man, like a mile. And I was going to catch it, and the sun was shining right in my eyes. And boy, I was sitting there, and I couldn't see that thing. I noticed up there somewhere, and the ball went right into the sun. And boy, I went like that, and that ball went wham, hit me right in the stomach. And next thing I know, I was laying back in the grass or something. I think it knocked me out. I ain't sure. One time when I had a wreck, and I wrecked my truck and run into a tractor and trailer on the interstate, I think it knocked me out. I ain't sure. There was a lot of people around that awful quick. I know that. But anyway, and brother, I at a time, and then... let me see. I don't know if I ever been knocked out or not, but we used to get in school, and back in the, when I was going to school, it was real popular to make everybody pass out. You remember when everybody was doing that? You'd stand up and go, and you'd breathe about 15 times, then stand up and go, and people would squeeze you. And when they squeeze you, you pass out. Dead, I mean, like 4 o'clock. You ever done that? Anybody in here ever done that? You kids better not do it. We'll take our bell out and I'll wire you out. You ain't got no chance. You could die doing something that stupid. But anyway, we used to do that. And boy, I remember one time, I said, I don't know if I believe in that or not. And then boy said, all right, do it. And I breathed, and I breathed, and I breathed. And I stood up and held my breath, and they squeezed me around the chest. And man, I went out. And I thought, it seemed like I was out for a long time. And I thought I was walking up the road, upset me to a store, and bought a Zero bar. That's what I thought. I bought this Zero bar, and I was walking down the road and eating that Zero bar. It seemed like it lasted a long time, and I wasn't out but 2 or 3 seconds. But as far as just fainting, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever fainted or not. But I know one thing, brother. Usually when people faint is when you need it on the most. Now, I tell you tonight, church, you listen to me. I'll guarantee you the devil has tried to cause some of you to faint this week. I don't know. Since this church has been here nearly 9 years ago, I don't know if we have been hit in all the different ways and as hard in the last, I believe we've been harder in the last 8 to 10 months than since we ever have since this church has started. I believe the devil has ever done he's got turned on this church. I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I'm not boasting. But I believe tonight the devil hates this church worse than anything in McDowell County. I'd say the devil hates this church as much as anything in North Carolina. I believe tonight the devil hates it. He'll try to do everything he can to stop it. And when the adversity's there and when the battle's going on, it ain't time to faint. It ain't time to quit. Lord, that's the time we need help. That's the time we need to stand under one another and hold each other's arms. That ain't no time to faint and get out of the will of God. We need you in the day of adversity. Now, last night when the youth choir went to sing, there wasn't many went. And I know a lot forgot. A lot of mothers let the devil tell them there's snow on the road. Had to be the devil because there wasn't none on there. A little spots of dirt here and yonder or something like that, maybe a little slush. But a lot of people let this happen, let that happen. And old Brother Glenn, his wife, Brother Clinton, his wife, come down there and I got up to preach and looked back there. Right, looked up there and I seen Brother John Hollis and his wife. And all the kids was there. I needed that last night. You 6 adults don't know. You don't know how much that good that done me. You don't know how much good that done me. You don't know how much. I thought, Lord of God, there's some friends that'll stand with me. There's some friends that'll not faint in the day of adversity. Boy, I know what the devil's telling a lot of you. The devil's trying to knock a lot of you out. The devil's trying to make some of you faint. It's like we're up here in the battle. And we're up here going, pow, 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 pow. Boy, and everybody's throwing hand grenades, and everybody, and we run back into the camp and say, I barely made it this week. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling today. Preach it, brother. Glory to God. Sunday night, hold the forehead. Amen. I'm ready to go. You're out here, money. All week long, you know, you try to get in a good one. Here comes Wednesday night. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our pain, grief to bear. And boy, you get knocked around all week long. And then somebody come in and said, did you hear what happened? Brother Danny got shot. Brother Danny got shot. He ain't supposed to get shot. If Brother Danny gets shot, I tell you what you do. If Brother Danny gets shot, you go right back and fight the devil the next day, just like you always have. Amen. Let me tell you something, brother. God got along all right before Brother Danny got here. He'll get along fine after I'm dead and gone. You don't worry about whether I get shot or not. You just fight the devil and give him every bullet you've got and give him the devil. That's what he deserves. I remember when Moses was over yonder and they was fighting that battle. And he's holding up his hands. And when he'd hold up his hands, Israel would win. But when he let down his hands, Amalek would win. He said, "Whew, my hands are killing me. Somebody help me." And Aaron and Hur, two good deacons, came up. Said, "Okay, preacher." One of them got under one arm. One of them got under another arm. One of them scooted him up a big rock, sat on. He sat on that rock, held up his hand. You know what I see going on in a lot of churches? Here are up on, working on top of the building, climbing up that ladder. You want to go down there and climb up that ladder on the lower side of that thing? Man, that is fun. It starts doing like this about halfway up. Boy, you get up there and you look, it looks like a half a mile down yonder. And boy, it looks good to see some of the brethren down there holding that ladder. It looks good to see that nail fastened in a sure place with that rope tied around it, holding that ladder up at the top of that building. But you know what? In the day of adversity, you know what a lot of brethren are doing? "All right, boy, you got me down there. Well, there goes one in the mud hole. There goes one hit the forklift. There goes one that falls in the mortar mix. There goes one that falls over here. And, hey, man, I'm about to break my neck. Hey, hold me up. Hold me up." You faint when you're needed the most. I've needed you, and you need me. I've answered my phone at 3 o'clock in the morning many times for many of you. "Now I'm on the ladder! Now you're on the ladder! You're on the ladder! You're on the ladder! You're on the ladder!" And there's a lot of them up on the ladder you don't even know about. If you've already got down, you ought to hold the ladder for the ones still climbing. People faint when they're needed the most. Let me say secondly tonight, why people faint. Why do people faint? Now let's do a little Bible study. Get your Bible out. I've been giving a little parable so far. Let's get this here in the Bible. Faint. Faint. You probably never thought about the word faint in the Bible as compared to really a faint. That's what I thought about when I read it. Now I want you to notice, so first of all, people get weary. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to show you something here in the Bible. Now keep your Bibles open. We're going to go to 3 or 4 verses here in the next few minutes. Slow down. Then I'll bring the message to a close in a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 12. Look here at verse number 3. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Why? "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." You know what causes people a lot of times to faint? Weary, brother. Just flat wore out. You get wore down with the daily toil of life, with the drudgery of fighting the battle, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, and you get weary. And you think, "Good night, what's the use? I might as well," and you faint in your mind. On that same point, turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Back to your left a few books. To the book of Galatians. That's right after, up for Ephesians. And Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. Galatians 6 and verse number 9. A great verse. Now notice, something you might hear, maybe you hadn't noticed. In Galatians 6 verse 9. "And let us not be weary." Let us not be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Don't you wish it stopped there? But it don't. What does the last part say? If we what? Faint not. If we faint not. If you faint, you don't reap. If you faint not, you reap. The Bible said, "Neither let us be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't faint. Here's a man out here, and he's working in his garden. He's trying to get the corn in. But if he passes out and falls in the cornfield, he don't reap. If he faints not, he may get weary. The sweat may run off of him. He may get tired. His hand may have blisters on him. He may need corn huskers roasted all over him by the time he gets home that evening. But if he don't faint, he'll reap. But if he does faint, he don't get nothing. I'm saying to you tonight, friend, don't get weary in well-doing. You say, "I went to visitation for 30 straight Thursday night and nothing happened. Don't be weary in well-doing. If you're doing something right, just keep on doing it. You know what happens to us a lot of times? When we get weary and tired, we quit doing what's right. That ain't the thing to do. Keep on doing what's right. Keep on doing what's right. I don't care, brother, come hell or high water or whatever happens. If a man will do right, he'll come out on top sooner or later. God Almighty will see to it. You'll reap it. You faint not. You know what happens to a lot of people, though? When they get weary and wore down and tired, you know what they want to do? Take out and go sin somewhere. That's a dumb thing to do. That's a dumb thing to do. Don't do that. Now, I tell you, brother, these people in this church are going through a battle. You wouldn't believe it. I can stand up here and tell you story after story after story of what people in this church are going through. Financial troubles. Physical troubles. Bad. Family troubles. Bad. Social troubles. Trouble with the past, haunting them, and all kinds. Listen, you'll read if you faint not. Don't faint. Don't faint. Now, let me show you another reason why people faint. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Right where we're at a minute ago. Now I'll show you a verse here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews 12, look at it here in verse number 5. The second reason people faint is God whips them, give them a whipping, and they can't stand it. And they flip their lid and go faint and drop out of the battle. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor what? Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know what makes a lot of people faint in the day of battle? Brother, chastisement. Now, God Almighty's a good father. He whips his young'uns when they get out of line. He may not whip them today or tomorrow. It may be a long time. But God does whip his children. I don't know about you, but it seemed like to me that the Lord whips me, boy. I mean, he whips me. He don't wait 5 seconds to start whipping me. Sometimes my whipping comes a week late. Sometimes my whipping comes 2 weeks late. But, brother, I'm almost paranoid, boy, about it. Everything that goes wrong, I think, man, that's my sin. That's my sin. God's whipping me. That's the time to faint if you ain't careful. That's the time to faint. Let me tell you something, brother. Don't you feel sorry for me, and I ain't feeling sorry for you. We deserve a lot worse than what we're getting. Brother, we deserve it. Somebody said to be in hell with our back broke. We deserve, brother, to be burning in the lake of fire. And, brother, we better not faint when God Almighty rebukes us and when God lets us get a whipping. And when God lets... Don't you faint, brother. The Bible said, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Because God's a good father. He's a good father. He ain't gonna kill you. You ever got a whipping when you was little and you thought it was going to kill you? Oh, I remember one time, me and these boys got caught in school. I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. I don't remember what that was. We used to sneak down to school at night. We got up pretty big. I was 14, 15, I guess. That sorry Jerry Carswell, of course, he was one that got me in trouble. Well, he was, really, a big part of it. Me and him and these other guys, we got this bright idea one day. I think it was my idea, I ain't sure. And we had these mobile units down, which is trailers, really. They call them mobile units. Make them sound like a classroom. They had little trailers to pull in down there and have a couple of classes in. And one day on the bus, one of these guys said he was going to take some tinfoil out of a chewing gum wrapper and go down there at night and cram the lock full of it. And so the next day they couldn't get the key in there and we wouldn't have to go to homeroom in first, second period. That's a good idea. So we snuck down there late at night. Snuck. That's a Greek term. That means we crept in privily down up the parking lot. And boy, we went in there and stuck that thing in there and Next morning, sure enough, they couldn't get the key in there, couldn't get it turned. They picked around there, you know, and picked and picked and picked, and just a little bit got it out. Well, we was disappointed. So I said, I know what we can put in that lock. And Daddy used to bring home this real strong glue from a man. Lit it, you know, thought he'd burn up, and that flamed up, made a big old fire. And we said, put it out. We was afraid the people would see it and call the law or the principal or somebody. But anyway, it died down there a little bit. You know what happened? The next day, son, they come out there and they couldn't get that key nowhere near into that lock. They worked. We laughed, we sniggered, we giggled, we fooled around out there and got to play around there for about 2 hours. They had to take the door off. They had to take the lock loose, get a new lock. Man, we thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, we put one over on the establishment, you know. I mean, we had really pulled the wool over their eyes, and things went along pretty good. And somebody ratted on us. And I know who that was, too. He's a lot bigger than me, so I didn't do nothing about it. Big old fat boy. And he told on us. And the principal called us in there and he said, boy, he found out what we'd done. And everything, and son, he pulled out a big old paddle. That was back in the days when they had a little bit of sense left in the school. If Peter said, all right, you boys are suspended for 2 weeks, we'd say, whoo, what a punishment. We love that. Do I have to go to school 2 weeks? That's a stupid way to punish a kid. That's what they want, man, get out of school. That's why I put the glue in there to start with. Boy, he pulled out a big paddle about yay long, about that thick. Oh. I went, oh, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Is that what the Bible said? Brother, it ain't fun when you're getting it. Buddy, he rired back, and he got me in there, and he said, Dan, that's what he called me, Dan. I despise them talking to me like that. Boy, it made me mad. He said, Dan, you lied to me. I was just like, you. Boy, he took us out and he said, bend over, and he rired back and go, wow! Man, that burned. Oh, my soul! It burned. When you go back and sit down in the classroom, your seat was hot. You ever felt that? I mean, burn, brother. Swell up. I mean, it burned. And I don't know, he hit us 2 or 3 licks, maybe 5 licks, something like that. And I want you to know it hurt. And that was a good time for me to say, ooh, I hate him. I can't stand him. I'll quit this old school. I ain't never coming back. You know, that's just how we feel a lot of times when God really lays a lash to us. How many of you ever really had God take you to the woodshed? I mean, you've been whipped. Well, didn't you deserve it? But when you're getting it, you don't feel it. Look at it that way, do you? When God's whipping you, I mean the hard times are coming. Trouble's coming. You're saying, God, God, ow! Ow! Lord, you're trying to kill me! And the devil says he don't love you. He wouldn't be doing you like this. Faint! Faint! The Bible said, faint not when thou art rebuked of him. If God's got you in the woodshed tonight and he's whipping the fire out of you, he's a good father. You'll get over it. The Bible said, but afterward it brings forth all kind of good stuff. Something like that. Where's that verse? It does say something like that. Well, it's in there somewhere. It's right beside that verse that says, if it ain't one thing, it's another. We saw about that last night. That's a good old verse of Scripture. But anyway, I tell you something, brother. Listen. I know. When I get a whipping, it's hard to smile. Somebody says, well, I mean, I know. Y'all know, and I know, and you know, I know, and I know, you know, I know, you know. And people said, Brother Dan, you just ain't yourself. Like, well, man, good night. Somebody taking you the paddle and beating your place off. You ain't going to be yourself neither. I mean, brother, I mean, it seemed like, and sometimes you don't know if it's a devil trying to kill you or God whipping you. You don't know. And I think when the trusses about fell on me, somebody come up that day and said, I know what it is, a preacher. He said, the devil tried to kill you. Maybe somebody else come right behind him and say, that's God trying to show you something. You say, what was it? I ain't got an idea in this world what it was. I ain't got the foggiest, brother. I don't know. I don't know if it's God or the devil. I know one thing. Something's trying to knock my brains out. And if God is trying to speak to me, I don't want to be stubborn as a mule. I want to get the message. Sometimes God will let the devil do something to you, but he's got a purpose trying to show you something. Don't faint when God rebukes you. Everything ain't going to go rosy in your Christian life. And if you stand for God, you're going to catch it by the high faker, I guarantee you. I mean, you're liable to get fired. You're liable to have other kinds of trouble. But the Bible said don't faint. Don't just and fall out of the race. Don't just quit church. Don't ever stay out of church. Don't ever stay out of church. For heaven's sake, don't ever stay out of church. Come when you feel like it. Come when you don't feel like it. Sing when you feel like it. Sing when you don't feel like it. Don't faint when God rebukes you. Then, let me show you another in here. Job chapter 4. The book of Job chapter 4. Now, I can't figure out chastening from persecution sometimes, and I don't know which is which, and I ain't trying to figure it out. Some of it might be just a pure old devil trying to ruin you, and some of it might be the Lord showing you something. I don't know. That's between you and him. I ain't trying to tell y'all why you're having your trouble. But just plain old trouble we find here in the book of Job will cause you to faint. Look at Job chapter 4 and verse 3. Behold! Now, this is especially for you preachers and teachers and you people have went around saying, now hang in there. Now serve the Lord. You ought to stand and trust God. And somebody coming in and said, oh, my boy got on drugs. And he got down to the police station. And I'm just all these out. And you turned around to him and you said, you trust the Lord. You believe in Jesus. Stand. Here's the verse for you and for me. Behold, thou hast instructed many. And thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was fallen. And thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. He said, boy, you've really done a lot to encourage other people, but now it is coming upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. You ever met one of these Christians that could go around and tell everybody how to solve their problems and how to trust Jesus and how to have grace? But boy, as soon as trouble hits their house, bam, they faint. Tell you something, buddy. Living the Christian life is a whole lot more than just shooting off your mouth. Saying, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? Oh, yeah, you'll think that one of these days. I guarantee you, but you'll change your little charismatic tune one of these days, son, when all hell breaks loose on you. Now, I know the Lord is wonderful. And I know, brother, it is great to be saved. And glory to God, I know. Down, deep inside, I've got eternal life, and I'm going to live forever. And if a man's got that, I mean, good night, you got it made. But this old flesh will squirm on the rack. One of them martyrs was going to get burned one time, and they's tying down to the stake, and he wasn't one of these great guys that got his last words in a book and stuff like that, buddy. He was really honest, and they was getting ready to burn him, and he said, tie them ropes tight, man. This flesh will struggle mightily. And he loved the Lord, but he knew, boy, that flesh don't like trouble and don't like a whipping. So trouble can cause you to faint. All right, I'm going to have to hurry now. Third, what to do about it. You say, Brother Danny, spiritually I am dizzy right now. Everything's getting dark. I'm about ready to get out of church. You're about ready to faint. Somebody in here tonight is about ready to faint. You're about ready to get out of the race. What are you going to do about it? You know what I found out? I read the encyclopedia. I really appreciate them encyclopedias y'all got me. You wouldn't believe the great messages that are come out of there. Part of this one come out of there. You know what I found out? What caused a person to faint? What it says, fainting is caused by a great drop in blood pressure. Insufficient supply of blood. The blood ain't insufficient. You just got an insufficient supply of it to the brain. And it causes mental or physical shock. Caused by. In other words, you see something that shocks you. You come up on a wreck. You see somebody shoot somebody. You just go into shock, brother, and your brain don't get no blood, and you get lightheaded. insufficient supply of blood to the brain, and you just go, oh, like that. And you're out. You can bust your brains out like that. You can get hurt worse of falling. You can, you know, go ahead and stand in there and watching it. Brother, we're seeing the devil slaughter a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters. This battlefield we're on is getting bloody. And the sight of some of this blood is going to cause some of y'all to faint if you ain't real careful. There's no telling what might happen before Jesus comes. There's no telling. Don't expect everybody to stay with the ship.
You say, well, Brother Danny, so-and-so's a preacher, and if I was to hear that they went out and got drunk, I'd just faint.
You better not. If I was to hear one of them got drunk, I'd just say, I figured it.
I'm telling you the truth.
I would.
No, it wouldn't shock me, brother.
You say, how could you possibly faint? I wouldn't think it ahead of time, but I tell you what, man, nothing don't shock you after you've been around Christians for about 10 or 12 years. You'd faint if I told you what some of them had done. I'd probably faint if I knew what y'all had done. You'd probably faint if you knew what I'd done.
Shock. Boy, you need to keep... I like that song that said, the blood will never lose its power.
Nothing wrong with the blood. You just need to keep it pumping. Keep claiming the blood. Pleading the blood. Claiming the blood. Pleading the blood. I believe that there's more power in the blood of Jesus than just to forgive your sins. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. I can't sing when I'm preaching because I'm trying to hurry. But anyway, listen. Listen to me. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Keep it a-circulating. Keep it a-flowing.
Well, you ain't going to... You might believe this. I about shouted inside when I read it. It had a little picture drawn in the encyclopedia. And you know what it said? Glory to God. I love this part. I waited all evening to get to this part.
This is the truth. In the encyclopedia,
it said when you get lightheaded, and it had a little guy drawn there, you know, had a little figure there drawn. You go home, look it up in your encyclopedia when you get home. And it said, a guy who's about to faint, you know what they said to do?
You know what it said to do? If you think you're about getting ready to faint and everything's going like this,
you ain't going to believe it.
It said, the encyclopedia said, when you're getting ready to faint, to get down on your knees and put your head between your legs. That's what it said. It said, if you're getting ready to faint, do this. I thought, woohoo! Hallelujah! There's a cure. There's a prevention. There's a way to keep from fainting. But get down on your knees and stay there. Put your head down and stay there. Let faint, dizzy spell goes away. Pray! 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 That's a way to keep from fainting.
And it said a person who's seated and thinks they're about ready to faint should bend over and put their head down like this. That's a way to keep from fainting.
That's what to keep from fainting. You say, Brother Danny, I'm getting woozy. I heard Johnny Ollish shot his mother-in-law. I heard this. I'm about to pass out. Get down on your knees. Put your head between your legs. Stay there till the dizzy spell goes over.
You ever seen these people that the sight of blood makes them about pass out, but they won't quit looking at it? You ever seen them? I say, we say, well, stupid, go over and turn your head. And they just keep staring at it and staring at it and staring at it. Man, get down on your knees, bury your face in the ground, put your head between your legs, and pray. I never could figure out why people would see, you know, they'd see a dog mashed up on the side of the road or something, and they know they're going to throw up, and they just keep staring at it. Yeah, you ever seen anybody do that? Crazy. You know what we got to do? We got to pray. We got to pray. I don't believe the devil wants that church built. You know, that's smart figuring that out, wasn't it? That's amazing how the Lord just reveals things to you. You'd have never, ever guessed that if I hadn't told you.
But I need to know something.
It didn't come out right, but I really don't. I don't believe he wants that building built. I mean, it's obvious. As a fellow saw me downtown, he works in some business around here and hangs around all these cafes. And I walked in, and this has been weeks ago. There's no telling what y'all going to hear in the next 2 weeks. There is no telling. I advise you to put earplugs in your ears before you even go to work. Really, I'm serious. This has been 3-4 weeks ago. He told me, he said, well, I heard this, and I heard you run the contractor off, and I heard this happen and that happened, and Jens got into a big fuss, and all, and I seen it in the paper, and I seen this. He said, you know, you sure do draw a lot of attention. And I said, I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know why. But I ain't going to stand there and look at the blood till I pass out. I ain't going to stand there and just look at the guts if I get sick and throw up. You know what we got to do? Getting dizzy? Hey, you think this is bad? You give us 5 more years. If we don't have revival in America, son, we're liable to see the day when they'll come busting through them doors with guns. I'm not trying to be dramatic, man. This is already happening in a lot of places. There's churches in Florida right now that have to lock their doors every service. Right now, a lot of them I've heard. To keep people from coming in with guns, robbing the congregation. What are you going to do when that starts happening? I mean, you heard somebody uptown make fun of us, call the trusses fail, and you fainted. What are you going to do when they start threatening you, shooting the tires off your car, putting sugar in your gas tank? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And they said, the encyclopedia said, hot application to the back and the legs. I don't know. I tried to figure out some kind of spiritual comparison I could use that on, and I don't know if that would be the Lord, you know, laying it to you, hot application to the back and the legs. And then said, sometime you can bathe the faiths in cool water. You know, take cool water, put it on a rag, just start rubbing their face with it. Said, hey, speak to me, Andy, speak to me. Come on, hey. That's, you ever seen it in the movies? Wake up, boy. You ever seen them when one of them pass out? They grab them up their door and say, speak to me. Speak, pow, pow, pow. That'll sometimes wake them up. Let me see. You know, let me see who's fainting here tonight. Just start smacking you back and forth. That's what you need done to you. Smack you. Somebody smack you and wake you up. Put cool water on your face. I don't know what that represents. That might represent maybe that. Cool water, the Word of God, or cold waters from a far country, a thirsty soul, good news. I don't know, but that's what it said. And then it said, sometimes really bad off, you can give them a whiff of ammonia. Just, whew, that's a strong stuff. I mean, a real jolt, brother, a shock. Get them to breathing again. Get them back to consciousness. Let me see. Maybe old Carl Lackey. Somebody like that. That'd be a good whiff of ammonia for us one about a week, wouldn't it? That'd wake you up. A little whiff. Woo! About passed out there. Somebody come along and wave that stuff in front of your nose. But here's what we need to do. According to the encyclopedia, you ought to get down on our knees. Put our head between our legs. Stay there until the dizzy spell's over. That's what our ladies are going to do this week. There's a lot of you having problems. You're ashamed even to tell me. I don't want Brother Danny to know it. Huh? Well, don't worry about it. We're going to be praying for you. The men are going to be praying.
Sometimes we get so busy in the bus ministry. Sometimes we get so busy in the soul winning, in the preaching, in the revival, in the singing, in the work, in the Christmas play, in the program, into the building fund, into this. You don't spend time praying like you should. Brother, you ain't strong. You're going to faint in the day of adversity. When you pass out, you ain't doing nobody no good. There's Christians passed out all around us. We're out trying to give them smelling salts when they ought to be up fighting the battle. Let's pray. Well, I guess the invitation would be twofold tonight. First of all, if you have fainted or are about to, that you'll come and let the Lord give you a little whiff of ammonia, get you back on the firing line. Some people do fine as long as things are going good, and as long as the church is growing, and as long as the people are shouting, and people are being saved. Some people, glory to God, they're on mountaintop. But as soon as one thing goes wrong, they faint. They faint. Now the Bible said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And I know a lot of times our strength is small. It ain't what it ought to be. And I don't expect you to jump up, down, scream, holler when you're getting shot at and lied about and everything else. I don't expect that. But I tell you, God expects us not to faint. The Bible said, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
Don't faint, Christian. Don't faint. Maybe you've already fainted. You want to just come get good and woke up. And then there may be somebody here to say, preacher, I know there's a lot of my brothers and sisters really, really going through a battle. Real battles. Preacher, I'm having it pretty good right now. My bills are paid. My kids are healthy. I'm doing all right. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come and hold the ladder for my brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell God tonight that I am going to spend definite time in prayer in the next few weeks, that God Almighty will help each of these brothers and sisters who's going through fire and trouble. But if you're having it good tonight, you ought to get in there and hold the ladder for some others that are not. Because the day will come when you're on top of the ladder, and you're going to sure want somebody to hold it up for you. I'll guarantee you that. I'll guarantee you that.
Who will come and say, preacher, I'm going to spend time praying. Preacher, I'll give up an old television program. Preacher, I'll give up an old leisure time. I'll give up an hour of sleep. Preacher, I'll give up a meal and fast. That's what God lays on my heart. I don't want my brothers and my sisters to fall. I want to hold up the ladder for them. Let me tell you something. There's people in this church, good Christian people, whom the devil is tempting to go back to the old life. They're being tempted to go get drunk, being tempted to go get on drugs, being tempted just to go out and just give up. Serve the devil! Oh, you ought to hold up the ladder. Hold it up for them. Hold it up for them. Hold it up for me. Hold it up for these others. Hold it up! We'll hold it up for you. That's when people faint, when they're needed the most. Right when we need you the most. You'll faint if you ain't careful. Now you just do whatever God tells you tonight. The altar's already filled. Some of you's carrying such a heavy burden, if you don't get rid of it, if you don't put it on the altar, it'll kill you. It's going to weigh you down. Give it to Jesus tonight. Give it to Jesus Christ. Give it to Jesus. Brother John, you go ahead and sing while our heads are bowed.